owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. As regular listeners know, I'm a huge fan of the Havoc Journal. They're a great source of information, topic ideas, and even guests for American Warrior Radio. And they have, on occasion, granted me the opportunity to publish some thoughts on their site. I admire what they do and believe we share a parallel goal of educating the public about issues important to the military. So as you can imagine, it's a great thrill for me today to be joined on the phone from half a world away by the owner of the Havoc Journal. Lieutenant Colonel Charles Faint is a career Army military intelligence officer. He has spent considerable amount of time in the special operations community, including assignments as an intelligence officer to the 5th Special Forces Group, the 160th Special Operations Aviation Unit, and the Joint Special Operations Command. Charles has completed 7 tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan and has also served in Egypt and South Korea. He holds a master's degree in international relations from Yale University and taught future Army leaders at West Point, where he headed up the officership capstone program. He is currently deployed in the Pacific Theater. Lieutenant Colonel Faint, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Ben, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm thrilled to be here and really looking forward to the conversation.
Now, Charles, just to be fair to our listeners, you literally are talking to us from half a world away. Charles, it's been my real pleasure to work with your team at Havoc Journal for a while there. We have some new markets, so some folks may not be familiar with Havoc. Tell us a little bit about the Havoc Journal, what you are, what your mission is.
Absolutely. So, Ben, the Havoc Journal is a general interest online publication that was started by my friend and mentor, Marty Scovlin, in about 2013. And we've been in business for about 6 years now. And what we do is we seek to be the voice of the veteran community, which we consider to be the wide swath of people who are veterans or family members or people who care about vets. And what we've done is just let people tell their stories on our site. And it's been hugely successful for us. It's been a lot of fun for me. It's been therapeutic for me as a veteran and as someone who likes to write. It's been therapeutic for a number of veterans and informative to our audience and to the veteran community that we seek to educate and that we are part of. So that's what we're about on the Havoc Journal.
And the website, thehavocjournal.com, Charles?
Havocjournal.com with a K, H-A-V-O-K.
You know, I have it bookmarked. You'd think I'd know that, but I don't. So let's get right into it here. One, it's interesting, Charles, and so I've been on the air about the same amount of time the Havoc Journal has been publicizing, printing. But one of the recurring themes I hear, Charles, very often when I talk to military members are the challenges that they face transitioning to a civilian career. And I'm not just talking about finding another job, finding more employment. It's very often about them losing or feeling like they've lost their tribe and lost their purpose. So I'm thrilled to death when I heard about one of the new initiatives that you and some other folks are involved in. And I think, Charles, this is the first official announcement of this here on American Warrior Radio, which is appropriate.
Absolutely right, Ben. So I wanted the big announcement to be here first on American Warrior Radio based on our long history with you and what you've done for the veteran community, and also the very close alignment between what we're trying to do now with Havoc Journal's nonprofit, the Second Mission Foundation, which I'll explain a little bit more in detail, but how closely the goals of that organization line up with what you're doing on American Warrior Radio. So what we're doing with the Second Mission Foundation is that we're seeking to educate, elevate, and advocate for members of America's service community. And what we consider the service community in America is not just military veterans, of course, a big part of it, but also first responders like police officers and emergency medical service, but also security contractors who work for the government is who we're seeking to reach through the Second Mission Foundation. And what we found, and I've thought about this a little bit when I listened to the ads at the beginning of your show, When we listen to that about how the gambling rate is so much higher in the veteran community than the rest of America. And also in the veteran community, we experience homelessness, PTSD, suicide, and unemployment at a higher rate also. And what I found in working with my friends who are transitioning out of the military or law enforcement, and also the research I'm doing for my doctorate, is something that really helps people deal with all that is for them to have a second mission, something that fills the void that many vets feel when they leave the service. That could be politics, could be sports, music, religion, or what we do largely with the Havoc Journal is through writing. So what we've done now is we've formally set up a 501c3 that's dedicated to helping the veterans of America's service community with education, advocacy, and elevation in order to make life better for all those groups of individuals, their families and friends, and for the nation. So that's the down and dirty 30 seconds on the Second Mission Foundation, Ben.
Okay, Charles, and I tell you what, I was so excited because, I mean, literally, the owner of the Havoc Journal, this is a big moment for me. I was so excited I forgot to do one thing, so give me just 1 second. Charles' comments on American Warrior Radio are his opinion and do not reflect the official position of the U.S. Army, the Department of Defense, or the United States government. I had to say that to protect you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So back to business. I was teasing a former guest on the show a couple of weeks ago, Charles, about, okay, when you get out of the military, there's a punch list of things you have to apparently do. One is, you know, write a book. Two, start a coffee company. Three, start a nonprofit. But it's more serious than that, isn't it?
Well, Ben, I think you forgot the most important part of that, and that's grow a beard. That's step one. But
oh.
I think everything else you got it pretty nailed.
So what I mean, and I'm kind of look. Trust me, there's enough need out there where I'm sure we could use lots of other nonprofits looking out for these communities, Charles. But as you
for
and
sure.
your team were evaluating this, did you really see a gap, or you know, what is it from a business perspective? What is it that's going to make your foundation better, faster, stronger?
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that we put a lot of thought into before we decided to set up a 501c3 on our own. I know you know from having your own experiences with the 501c3, it's not always an easy thing to do. So one of the things that we looked at was like, who's already operating in this nonprofit space, who's doing the things that we are doing? There are a lot of great organizations out there, of course, that are dedicated to helping veterans, that are dedicated to helping first responders. But I don't think there's any other organization out there, and if there is, we'd certainly be interested in partner with them, that takes the perspective that we do in terms of the security contractors, military veterans, and the first responders, and the types of advocacy and education that we seek to do with them. For example, we decided we're going to have our first event on the 9th of November at the Forest Room 5 in Denver. It's promoting more than Our War, which is a documentary that's made by some veterans with a long affiliation with the Havoc Journal and operating in the veteran entrepreneurship space. And there's not a lot of nonprofits out there that are really helping veterans and members of the veteran service community.
Okay.
And get their thoughts and their actions out there. So that's our product differentiation, and that's why we decided to do it on our own instead of partnering with somebody else.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, here on American Warrior Radio. We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Charles Faint. He's an Army intelligence officer. He's also the owner of the Havoc Journal and one of the founders of a new organization called the Second Mission Foundation. You can find out more at secondmissionfoundation.org. And just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, he is literally talking to us via cell phone from the Philippines. So if you hear some little dropouts, we apologize for that. But I know you're going to enjoy the rest of the conversation. Charles, when we come back, I want to pursue a little bit about your who of your foundation, because I found it interesting. Military first responders, we hear that a lot, but we don't see security contractors as much. So I want to pick your brain a little bit about that. Ladies and gentlemen, again, your host, Ben Bueller Garcia and American Warrior Radio. Well, more with Charles Faint when we come back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined via cell phone, literally from the other side of the planet, by Charles Faint. Charles is an Army intelligence officer. He's the owner of the Havoc Journal, and now, announced for the first time, apparently also the CEO of the Second Mission Foundation, a great new organization just created by Charles and some of his comrades. You can find out more. Visit the secondmissionfoundation.org. Charles, still with us?
Still with you, Ben.
All right. I just checking. I teased before the break. I found it interesting. You added security contractors to your WHO on your mission and your services. Charles, aren't most security contractors prior military?
So many of them are, but it's not a prerequisite to do it. And you don't have to be a military veteran to be a contractor and vice versa. There is a lot of overlap. There's also a lot of overlap, of course, between the first responder and the military community. So we just kind of see that as cousins between the three different groups. But we also see the security contractors as kind of an underserved niche that we wanted to call out specifically as part of our organization.
Okay. And one thing I found interesting as well, Charles, and really struck me and made me happy to hear is, again, this is not just about helping them find work. It's really about helping them find a new or a second, in effect, a second mission, a new purpose in their local community, wherever they may be. And we're not talking, okay, I'm going to go from a security forces trooper to a police officer necessarily. That may be, their mission may be as a farmer or as a craftsman or as an entrepreneur.
That's absolutely right. Or as a politician or as a member of the clergy or whatever it is that unique person's second mission is, because it's so varied. It's very individual.
Okay. Now, Charles, I see really when looking at your mission statement, the how of how you're going to do this through the Second Mission Foundation, we've got an education wing and an advocacy wing. And you gave a good example of the education part of that, particularly of interest to our listeners in Colorado Springs, November 9th, 4 to 8 p.m. in Denver, 2532 15th Street, Forest Room 5. There'll be a showing of the award-winning More Than Our War film, which features a fellow by the name of Leo Jenkins, who, if I'm not mistaken, is a Havoc Journal writer, has been on American Warrior Radio, just a very, very intelligent and unique fellow.
He absolutely is. And Leo is one of the few Havoc Journal writers that I've actually met in person. He stayed with me he and Marty both stayed with me for a couple of days at West Point when they were getting ready to head out on their big nomadic veterans adventure. So Leo's a great guy, and I wish I could be there with him, but the Army had other plans. So I'll be in Manila, and they'll be in Denver on the 9th.
A little bit of a journey there, yeah. So okay, what other, when you talk about the education part of the mission, what other sorts of things do you envision in that vein, Charles? We've got, you know, films, we've got writing. Would you help people tell their story? Is a little...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely, Ben. So, of course, we do that already on the Havoc Journal. We continue to do that. But what we'll also do is we're going to publish compendiums of stories told by veterans. So we already have the first ones going on right now. It's called Voices from the Shadows, the Untold Stories of America's Unseen Warriors. And we're concentrating first on America's Army Special Operations. So that's going to be the first book that we publish under the Second Mission Foundation imprint. And we're also going to publish a number of books on any aspect of the America's Veterans Service community that we think we can get enough stories on. So first responders will get their own book, contractors, et cetera. And that way, people who have a couple interesting stories to tell, maybe don't think they have what it takes to write a book. Of course, if they do want a book, we'll help them with that. They can tell their story in this book, and we can get that out. So that's one way we're going to do it. We're also going to support other nonprofits who are helping to educate veterans. For example, there's this program called the Warrior Scholar Project that's run by a number of schools, largely in the Northeast, but spreading throughout the country, that helps veterans transition from the military into college. So those are two ways that we're going to help education, help people publish their stories, publish books, and also help with the education of veterans.
Okay, and Charles, the other side of that then is advocacy. Tell me what that looks like, because I certainly, I mean, that's something that we do, we try to do here at American Warrior Radio. One of the things that thrills me to death, you mentioned before, I would love to see more former members of our military get involved in politics and running for office. But what is the advocacy side? What is the advocacy wing? What do you envision that them doing?
Absolutely. So the bottom line on the advocacy wing, Ben, is we want to encourage people to be highly functional veterans. So we want to avoid the trope that a lot of people try to put on the veteran community about being dysfunctional veterans. And largely that's our own fault because there's a subculture in the veteran community that encourages the perception that we're all broken and we're all have PTSD. Some of us do, of course, but not all of us. Some of us are highly functional, and that's what we want to promote through the advocacy. So you mentioned more than our war that we're doing as our first advocacy event. But what we're also looking to do is just help people. We're going to advocate for them in terms of their business issues that affect veterans, like the burn pit sickness is back in the news. So we're going to try to get involved in that and try to help make sure that veterans are taken care of through that. So basically what we're going to do for advocacy is anything that we think we can do to help military veterans, first responders, and military contractors who work for the government, we're going to do that through the advocacy wing, Ben.
Okay, and how do people get a hold of you, Charles, if they want to write for the compendium or they maybe have an issue? How do they reach out to the Second Mission Foundation?
Sure. So you already plugged our website, which I appreciate, secondmission.org. And they can also, if they're interested in just writing for the Havoc Journal, they can hit us up at havocjournal.com, and we'll be glad to talk to anybody who has questions about what we're doing or thinks they can help or wants us to help them. So those are the big ways to do it. They can check out our website, secondmission.org, or hit us up at hq@secondmission.org on email.
Okay, and again, that's hq@secondmissionfoundation.org on email.
That's right. That's right.
Charles, one thing that's been my experience in the, 30 years of advocating for the members of our military is just, and when I talk to my private clients, just what an amazing asset these men and women can be out in the community. And I'm not just talking like a traditional, a fighter pilot or a submarine commander going to work for a military contractor, just a broad swath of expertise and experience. And I wonder if that's your perspective, too. I mean, there was a Pew study, a 2015 Pew Research study showed 42% of officers, military officers, hold a bachelor's degree compared to only 19% of the population. That gap is even larger when it comes to advanced degrees, 42% to only 9% of the average population. Is that something that you see? Is this something you're trying to promote? Is people taking this learning they've gained through their education in the military and applying it out in the civilian sector?
Absolutely. So I think we take whatever assets the veterans bring to the table and we try to capitalize on that. So I think the numbers in there are interesting. I think it's close to almost 100% of military officers have at least a bachelor's because you almost always have to have one to get commissioned. And it's the norm now for officers and non-commissioned officers, warrant officers, to have advanced degrees and sometimes multiple degrees. What we have to be careful of, though, is not to rely over much on that because sometimes, especially in the military, to the Army, for example, a degree is a degree. But some degrees are more respected than others, and some degrees don't give people the skills they really need to do the job that they think they want to do after. And what I've also found just kind of in my own research is there's not direct correlation between having a degree for a veteran and being successful in business. Some of the best business men and women in the veteran entrepreneurial space help, but I think what helps more is having some startup money and having some training in whatever field it is you want to do, and most importantly, a mentor to help you navigate the initial startups and help keep you motivated as you get whatever it is you're going to do for your second mission off the ground.
Boy, and you really touched on something that's near and dear to my heart. As you mentioned, because of my experience in the nonprofit community, folks think, oh, I'll just go out and fill out the paperwork and, maybe hire a CPA and I'll be golden going forward. But for somebody who has the experience going over those bumps in the road and the potential challenges, having a mentor is just absolutely essential. And frankly, I've learned that here on the radio program as well. Charles, when we come back, I want to talk about, we kind of touched on military officers, but I'm guessing, I'm not going to quote numbers because I've already been wrong once about how many officers hold bachelor's degrees. You know, Ben gets a dumb question. In this case, Ben gets a dumb statement. 100, of course, you have to have a degree to be an officer. So when I come back, I want to talk about what I think are maybe the backbone of the military. Let's talk a little bit about NCOs and what they can bring to the table. And particularly, I read an interesting article you published on Coffee or Die website, a little bit about how NCOs have helped you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Lieutenant Colonel Charles Faint. He's an Army intelligence officer currently deployed in the Pacific Theater. He's also the owner of the Havoc Journal and the CEO of a brand new organization we're very excited about here at American Warrior Radio, the Second Mission Foundation. You can learn more, secondmissionfoundation.org. Charles, I think it's a good time to maybe let me read that disclaimer again. Charles' comments on American Warrior Radio are his opinion and do not reflect in the official position of the U.S. Army, the Department of Defense, or the United States government. I do that because a little bit later in the show, I want to pick your brain on something, if you don't mind, and I know it's one of those things you may or may not be able to share with us, but I wanted to make sure we get the disclaimer in there to make the lawyers happy. So, Charles, NCOs, I teased about you get out of the military, I guess you have to grow a beard, start a foundation, start a coffee company, maybe get a T-shirt. I am so confused. Black Rifle, Article 15, Havoc Journal, Coffee or Die. In this spider web of things, how does this work? So you wrote an article that was just published on Coffee or Die, even though you're the owner of Havoc Journal.
I am, and technically they're a competitor of ours. And you've touched on something that's really interesting in this veteran entrepreneurial space. It's a very incestuous relationship. So there are a lot of us who are technically competitors, but it's a very collegial competition. And a lot of us have worked together or met each other or just have a lot of respect for each other. So it's all kind of one big mass, everyone doing their own thing and collaborating and cooperating where we can. So it's particularly interesting with Black Rifle Coffee Company and their Coffee or Die magazine, because that's now headed by Marty Scoveland, who, of course, I mentioned earlier as the guy who founded the Havoc Journal. So Marty and I were in business. We had a Blackside Concepts, which is what the company Marty founded. He brought me on board to run the Havoc Journal. It became a successful organization. Marty sold it off, and my portion of the profits for that was keeping the Havoc Journal. So now Marty and I are technically competitors because he runs Coffee or Die. I run the Havoc Journal, but also Marty's on the board of directors for the Second Mission Foundation. He's the first person I recruited when I decided that we're actually going to go forward with this. So, yeah, there's lots of people operating in this space. We all work together. We all do our own thing, and it's a very interesting relationship.
You know, I'm thinking, Charles, it would be really – we try and do a regular feature segment on successful veteran entrepreneurs, and, gosh, having someone from Black Rifle Coffee on the show would really be swell. Maybe they're listening to the podcast. I'm busting their chops because I've tried. I've got one listener in particular that sends me a Facebook message like once a month saying, when are you going to get Black Rifle on? But regardless, Coffee or Die, this article you published there, Charles, really struck me because so often people overlook, you know, in the private business, it might be a key admin assistant or a young man or a woman working the service dock of the business. And you have a really interesting article about NCOs and the critical role they play to the proper functioning of our military. And it was inspired by something as simple as a photo. Tell us that story.
That's exactly right, Ben. So the Cliff Notes version of this is I was going to get what we call our DA photo, our Department of the Army photo, which is something you have to do for as part of your promotion packet. And it's just an expectation of the profession. Now, I'm not getting promoted again, but I'm still a professional officer, so I dutifully got my stuff together to go get my DNA photo taken. And I mentioned to one of the non-commissioned officers that is in my shop but doesn't work for me that I was going to get my photo taken. And he asked who was going with me. And now it's traditional that an NCO will go with an officer to make sure his or her uniform is 100% correct before the photo's taken. It's just good practice. I responded to this NCO. I was like, hey, I've been in the Army 23 years. I don't need someone to go with me. And he was like, well, okay, but who's going to inspect your uniform before you go? I'm like, no, I don't need an inspection. But he pressed on it like a good NCO would. And, of course, I relented, and he helped me with my uniform before I went down there to get my photo taken, which was just it caused me to reflect on how essential NCOs are and the things that they do and the pride they take and how they take care of the officers and the soldiers and everything else and how much we rely on them. And then when I got down to the actual photo studio, there was a young captain there with two NCOs who were helping her with her uniform. And it just struck me that she's at the beginning of her career. I'm at the end of mine. And it may reflect how important NCOs have been to my career personally, going all the way back to my very first platoon sergeant when I was a young infantry platoon leader, Sergeant First Class Ellery Edwards, who retired as a master sergeant. And that it just made me reflect on how important that is and how grateful I am that the NCO Corps in the Army is as strong and as good as it is.
You know, Charles, one of the quotes from your article that really stood out to me when you're talking about Sergeant First Class Edwards, you say, he taught me what right looks like for both officers and NCOs. And, you know, that's something that applies in the civilian world as well. Now, Charles, again, it's not like you had your ribbons on upside down or anything, right? Just to be clear.
Not this time. I mean, I remember a year or two ago, a general officer unfortunately had his ribbons on the exact wrong side of his uniform, but I didn't do that. But, yeah, there are some minor things. The article on Coffee or Die, there's some things wrong with this because I didn't have it inspected. For example, I'm wearing my foreign jump wings with my DA photo, which is something you're not supposed to do. So that's something that an NCO could have helped me with, but I didn't have any around when I was teaching at West Point. I guess I probably should have found one somewhere to help me out.
And here comes my ignorant question of the show, Charles. I would expect that as an officer, you would know this.
You're absolutely right. It's an individual responsibility, but it's always smart to have someone else check you out before you get something as important to your career as this DA photo. It doesn't have to be an NCO, but NCOs traditionally are responsible for individual and crew-level collective training and regulations and things like that, and they tend to know it better. So whenever you want to do something important, you go to an expert. And most NCOs, senior NCOs, E7s and above, are experts on things like what you need to know for your photo. So, yes, I should know. I should have known better. But it's always good to have an NCO around to help with stuff like that.
So it's kind of like in my world, you always want to have a second pair of eyes look at the advertisement, or a second, in this case, a second set of ears, or a second pair of eyes look at an article before you publish it on Havoc Journal to make sure everything is right.
Absolutely right.
Okay.
Absolutely right.
Now, Charles, do you get a mulligan on these? Is it like the school photos where they're just the photographer's cranking you through, and if it's wrong, you can't go back and say, oh, I need a do-over? Or are they a little more kind in the Army?
You can get them their DA photos updated right before they go before the promotion board. And as I mentioned before, I'm not eligible for promotion, so it's a far less – like, I'm not concerned at all that my uniform had a decoration on it that I wasn't supposed to have for that photo. It's one that I earned many years ago, but you're just not supposed to wear four wings in a DA photo. So, I'm not worried about it, but it is a big deal for people who are bucking for promotion. So if you don't get it right and then you don't have time to change it, then it goes before your promotion board as errors. And that's one of the first things people look at. They check to make sure you're not fat, that you're not wearing anything that you're not authorized, because they have your record right there too, and that you're wearing it the way that you're supposed to wear it for the photo.
Has that happened? I mean, we're talking almost stolen valor here, aren't we, Charles? I mean, has someone actually gone? Well, I guess it's a question of whether you intentionally are wearing an award that you didn't earn or not. But to your knowledge,
Ben,
is somebody
It happens so often that people just they're not happy with what they've done in the military, and they got to embellish. But also, it's an attention to detail thing. For example, someone might not be wearing something they are authorized to have. And, of course, when you're DA photo, you're supposed to have everything perfect. So that kind of sends a message to the board that maybe this person isn't the person we want for this really prestigious job because they can't be bothered to have their the basic things about the uniform correct. But as far as the stolen valor thing, Ben, it happens far more often than – I mean, I'm embarrassed by how often it happens in the military. And one of the ways they get caught is their DA photo. Like, oh, I see you're wearing a Ranger tab in your DA photo. Well, when did you go to Ranger school? And then they find out guy never went or didn't pass. So it happens quite a bit, unfortunately.
That's absolutely nuts. I can't believe that. And what happens then? Are they drummed out? Or what is?
So it depends. I remember when I came in the Army under the branch detail program, so I've always been an intelligence officer. For the first 4 years of my career, I was in the infantry. And one of the platoon sergeants and another platoon, one of our trainers, got busted by the first sergeant for what we now call stolen valor. He was wearing a Ranger tag he wasn't entitled to. So he got kicked out of the unit. I don't know. I mean, maybe they send down a handout towels in the gym or whatever they do with disgraced senior NCOs. But I remember a story a couple years back where there was a young captain or a major at Fort Benning who got busted for wearing a Pathfinder badge and a Ranger tab that he was not entitled to. And I'm not sure whatever happened to him. He got relieved from command, which is a big deal. That's almost certainly a career ender for an officer. But I don't think you get kicked out necessarily just for that act. But there are some very, very severe sanctions that happen if you get found out for stolen valor.
Wow. Okay. That's what we're here about, to educate and inform here. Charles, when we come back, with your permission, is it not only did we get the announcement of the Second Mission Foundation here, which is huge as far as our nation's history, well, at least as far as the show's history, but also something else huge happened in military history today having to do with a fellow by the name of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Can we talk a little bit about that, or if I read the disclaimer again?
No, absolutely. I'm happy to talk about it. I had nothing to do with it, so everything I know is just what we read in the news, but I'd love to talk about it when we come back, Ben.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Charles Faint, and we'll be right back. We'll be talking about Mr. Baghdadi. Good riddance. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined on the phone from the Philippines, Manila, I think it is, by Lieutenant Colonel Charles Faint. He is an Army intelligence officer, the CEO of a brand new and fabulous organization I want you to look into called the Second Mission Foundation. You can find out more at secondmissionfoundation.org. He is also the owner of my favorite online website, thehavocjournal.com. I'm going to say that because I don't, coffee or die, they haven't been on the show, Charles. So do I need to read the disclaimer again, Charles, or can we just jump right into Mr. al-Baghdadi?
I think we can go straight into it, Ben. Where are you going to start?
Well, I guess just one thing, I've never worn the uniform. I've never worn the badge, but I do know that there are, without a doubt, evil men and women in the world. And boy, this guy tops the list, and I am so glad that he's not with us anymore. For folks who haven't been, maybe in a cage or a bunker somewhere, Charles, tell us a little bit about this fellow and what our wonderful special forces and folks did recently.
Absolutely. So Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is a kunya or a nom de guerre of an individual that we suspect his real name is Ibrahim al-Badri. And he, until just a couple days ago, was the head of ISIS. He was the caliph of the caliphate of ISIS in Iraq and Syria. So this is a very big deal getting him. In my mind, it's nowhere near getting Osama bin Laden. I think it was a way bigger deal. But this is the next biggest guy that we could get because he's got the most influence and he is the biggest figurehead of who we're fighting over there right now. So according to the press reports, which is all I'm operating off of, I haven't been in an operational unit in 10 years. My last deployment was 10 years ago. So this is just what I'm reading in the news. Of course, first reports are normally wrong, but this is what we understand right now, is that it was Delta Force and a complement of Rangers that went on a mission into Syria based on some human intelligence that weirdly included his cronies stole and gave to the Americans to prove that with DNA that he was on site. And they inserted and they went and got the guy. And we'll talk about how they did it according to the news and the what I suspect the fallout will be from this. But Ben, you asked me to talk about what a bad guy this actually was. And I don't think that most of America realizes the kind of depths of his depravity. So this is a guy who kept sex slaves, who regularly murdered people in the most heinous ways possible, who was engaged in genocide against Yazidis and other minorities in the region of Iraq and in Syria. And in fact, he kept an American woman who was working as an aid worker named Kayla Mueller as a sex slave, reportedly raped her several times. There's some discussion about whether or not he forced her to marry him. And my understanding is that the raid that killed him was named after Kayla. Mm-hmm. So this is a very bad dude who's now dead, and I think the world's better off because of it.
From your perspective, Charles, here in the safety of the United States of America, it's hard for me to imagine what inspires people to follow this cause. I mean, as depraved and as evil as you describe him and some of these other folks, I suppose I could get if you were out for revenge against the United States or you're just a sick individual, you see this as kind of a club you could join. But other than that, how, from your perspective, why did ISIS, how did their reach grow so quickly? It was like an amoeba that sort of spread across certain areas of the Middle East there.
Absolutely. So anytime that there's a power vacuum, something's going to rush in to fill it. And unfortunately, in Syria and Iraq, the thing that rushed in to fill it was radical Islamism of the Sunni variety. So what we've got with these guys is we've got a culture of hate. We've got it wrapped up in religion. We've got grievances. We've got simmering discontent, unemployment, and we've got opportunity. And that just was a very dangerous mix. Now, al-Baghdadi probably felt that he had some grievances against the United States and against the world. We did invade their country in 2003. He got tossed into Camp Buka, if I remember correctly, in Iraq in 2004 or so. And Camp Buka was – a lot of bad people were in there, but it was also kind of graduate school for the Islamists. So he kind of moved on up from there and eventually found himself the caliphate leader – of ISIS after kind of being an al-Qaeda guy for a number of years. So he's worse than al-Qaeda. That gives your listeners an indication of how bad this guy really was.
Hey, Charles, I'm guessing for you and other folks, well, anyone, I know when I first read the news, I wanted to turn around and high-five someone, but there was no one there. This truly is a big deal, right? Can you share with us a little bit about, obviously, giving anything away, how these types of missions, can they be years in the making? Can you get some intel that's good and you got to, ramp up in 48 hours, all the above?
So I don't know any of the details about the specific situation, but what it takes a culture that is willing to be embracive of techniques, of building the team. Jim McChrystal always called it a network to defeat a network. We're going, as you know, generating a culture and building the expertise required to do this is it takes a long time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort from a lot of people. It's kind of like when you take your car to the mechanic and they fix it in 10 minutes and still charge you $500, and you wonder why it costs you $500 for that 10 minutes of work, but you're not paying them for that 10 minutes of work. You're paying for what it took to get them there. So what it takes to get the Delta Force and the Rangers on the target takes years in the making, a lot of effort, and a lot of pain along the way to make sure it works correctly. So these things take a lot of work on the front end, but once that trigger's met, it could be something very quick. But based on the news reports that I read prior to coming on the show, it talked a lot about how there was a lot of deconfliction of airspace and things that had to happen because you have so many warring factions there. You got the Kurds, you got the Syrians, you got the Turks, you got the Russians, and you got the Americans. So what we definitely did not want is for the Turks or the Syrians or the Russians or the Kurds to shoot our guys down en route or shoot at them when they got on the ground. So I can't imagine how complex and detailed this was to get there. Actions on the objective are probably pretty easy. This is the kind of stuff Delta does several times a night normally. But my hat's off to these guys for the way it was carried off, and I'm very grateful that there were no friendly casualties that were, no deaths.
And
involved.
I couldn't agree more. To me, one of the distinctions is we lost a bird on going in and getting to Osama bin Laden. This thing appears to have come off without a hitch, didn't lose any equipment, didn't lose any personnel. So congratulations to the men and probably women involved in that mission. We may never know their names, and that's okay by me. But God bless you. And again, Mr. Baghdadi, good riddance. Not going to miss you.
Good riddance. Good riddance. And sure. And then we can't forget the brave dogs that were involved in this raid, too. That's the hero of the moment is Conan, the Maligator that helped finally corner him before he blew himself up.
Agreed. I hear, well, that's another discussion here. Charles, we've got just 2 minutes left. Tell us again about your Second Mission Foundation, what you're doing, how people can get involved. And I want to remind our Colorado Springs listeners, there is an event November 9th in Denver. It's a screening of the More Than Our War film, 4 to 8 p.m., 2532 15th Street, Forest Room 5. Tell us more, Charles.
Ben, I just want to say thanks for having me on the show. And Second Mission Foundation, helping the veterans of America's service community, military veterans, first responders, government security contractors, find their second mission after service so we can combat PTSD, unemployment, homelessness, and the host of other issues that affect their families and the people that care about them. So they can find us at secondmission.org, they can email us, they can offer support, or more importantly, they can ask us for support. So Ben, thank you for letting me come on your show. I was very excited to be here, even though it's 3:57 in the morning here in Manila. Thank you so much for letting me come on and talk about Havoc Journal, Second Mission Foundation. Looking forward to doing some good together.
Well, and it's a thrill for me. I was so pleased to be approached by your organization and asked to be a partner. I don't know that I've done a whole lot to this point yet, but I'm always available to you, Charles, and some of your friends, and hopefully maybe I'll even write something else for the Havoc Journal soon. What can people look for coming up on the Havoc Journal?
Well, they can look for a continuation of what we've been providing, but we want to take it a little more positive. There's a lot of negativity in the country right now, so hopefully we're going to start generating some positive content to help get the country get motivated and moving in the right direction, Ben. So that's what you and your listeners can look forward to from the Havoc Journal and from the Second Mission Foundation.
Wonderful. Charles, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for what you and your fellow writers at the Havoc Journal are doing. And I just love this idea of the Second Mission Foundation. American Warrior Radio is always here to support you all. Take care, Charles.
Thank you, Ben. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Ben Bueller Garcia here at American Warrior Radio. This podcast and over 200 others can be found at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Follow us on Facebook, American Warrior Radio. We even have a Twitter feed at Warrior Radio TUC. If you support this mission and some of the messages we're looking to spread in the country, visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/American Warrior Radio, and you can find out more about how you can help us spread these important messages. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.